So good morning. Thank you everyone for coming. Today's topic, as was expressed in the pre-share discussions, is definitely not a topic that's talked about a lot, and it probably should be, is car safety, a Jew's obligation. That's the title of today's share. And, you know, you look around the world, look around the firm world, you know, Baruch Hashem, in today's world, many households are multiple car households. There are a lot of Jewish people driving cars, a lot of people in the world in general driving cars. That's why we have lots of traffic. But at the same time, we do know that accidents happen. Accidents do occur. And the question that I would like to deal with today is how much is car safety? In what areas does one have to be careful about halakhically in terms of car safety? Really, the impetus for the shiur, Harvey, you should know this, is a dear friend of mine came over to me recently, and he asked me, you know, what will I say if somebody's driving with, younger drivers and passengers in the car, maybe even the driver of the car, are not wearing seatbelts? Look, pretty, this happens, especially amongst the younger generation. What would I say about that? So I stated my opinion, which we'll get to soon. And this person started saying, well, I don't know, this person doesn't seem to, this person says this, that person says that, this person says this. And we got a lot of, you know, discussion. So actually, you know, to me, I thought it was pretty clear what the answer is. But I saw that not everybody viewed it that way. So I thought, yeah, that sounds like a good area for a topic. And upon doing more research, I definitely saw that there's some lack of clarity in the whole topic. And therefore, I think it's could die to be addressed. I do not know really of too many, I would call it mainstream tshuvos, that deal directly with this question. I do not believe Moshe Feinstein was ever asked this question straight up. Should someone be wearing a seatbelt? And, right, right. He jokes, because no one in the Lower East Side of Manhattan has a car. They all take the train, okay? But Rabbi Moshe was asked so many questions. It's interesting this wasn't on it. And again, major postgame in print, I've yet to really see this topic fully addressed. And I'll talk about it. I'm not just talking today about seatbelts, I'm going to talk about a lot of other factors with cars. For example, driving speed. Right? There's, you know, in America, I don't know about Israel, but in America, there's a posted speed limit, you know, everywhere you go. Now, sometimes they try to trick you. You know, you go here and you go a mile, and now they switch it, and they go back and forth. Upstate New York, they're notorious for, like, playing these games. Every little other space, a different town, and they change the speed limit, and they have a cop waiting there.
Have you been to Georgia?
Huh?
Have you been to Georgia?
No.
Right. The AAA used to highlight certain towns, you know, before the real people in the interstate, then, where they were notorious for passing out citations. You know, it would go from, like, 50 miles an hour speed limit 25.
Really?
Yeah,
okay, so for those listening at home, if you want to drive through Georgia, be aware they would change these things. I was just in New York. Just the adjustment you have to make. Huh?
The cameras. They don't even need a police officer anymore.
Right. Now in New York, in terms of speed limit, the way they do things, if they have these speed cameras, as was mentioned. But they also made, you know what the speed limit right now in New York is?
25
miles per hour.
You mean in the city?
In the city.
Yeah. Well.
You want to drive down a regular city street, you have to go 25 miles per hour, and there's speed cameras. Huh? All right, good line. They say New York, yeah, how high you should be able to go 25 miles per hour.
Listen, they have a lot of things that the government has to spend money on, and they need to raise revenues.
Yes, yes. So we have issues speeding. If a person would exceed a speed limit, would that, would you say, is a Jew obligated to keep the speed limits? Could the person go above the speed limit? Is that dangerous? Is that putting yourself in a makom sakana? How do you understand that? Putting other people. Other aspects of causing accidents. Right? And I remember you telling me about this. Stop signs. A stop sign is not a suggestion.
It's not a yield sign.
Right?
Yeah.
A stop sign means you're supposed to take a complete stop. But what happens if you take a stop sign as a suggestion, as a yield sign? Like,
this right? To me right in front of the Colwell. I was about to step off the curb into the street. And she went with her minivan right through the stop sign with the windows open, the back, and the kids screaming, and her on the phone, right through the stop sign. If I had taken one step earlier, I would not be here today.
Okay, yes. So we've seen people blow by stop signs.
Huh?
Right, a ride on the red without stopping. Yes.
Yes.
These things could be dangerous. For sure. Huh? I'm going to get to that. Hold on. All right, hold on. Distracted driving. Nowadays in the world with phones, you definitely have issues of people texting during driving, definitely animated discussions on the phone, right? New York for a while, I forgot what they're up to nowadays. They were very big on cracking down on handheld phones. Here in Florida, we don't have that same law. Yes?
Yankee's father, last night, he sees like teenagers driving, like speeding on their phone, like blasting music. He has a button, like, have like a little siren go off for like a couple seconds. He'll turn on, like, he'll scare them, like, he'll see the cats and look around and put their phone down. And like, whenever they go back to their phone, they'll press the siren again.
Okay, that's, right? It's good to be a macher. But, yeah, that's, you know, the scare. Definitely teenagers are, as we know from the driving stats, and insurance rates are the most prone to have accidents. And really these halachas are definitely more important, and the shir is very definitely focused to people to understand the dangers of driving. We go from teenagers to go to the opposite extreme. You know, there reaches a point sometimes that people should not be on the road. Older people that are not, you know, driving is all about reactions, and it can reach a point that somebody's not up to driving anymore.
What age are you?
Huh?
What age are you?
Not yours. You're too young.
It's not a set number.
But exactly. I don't think there is a set number. And it's a type of thing. What would be, you know, let's discuss the halacha. If a person is above really the capacity to drive well, would it be also for him to get into a car behind the wheel? What do we say about that? There are all other driving laws, cutting a person off. You know, putting a car in a place where people have to do crazy maneuvers to get around. That might include parking.
Double parking.
Yes. My father-in-law told me, what's the definition of borough park? What's a borough park? He said, when you parallel park into a double parked spot. Try that again. Right? Yes.
Tailgate.
right? Tailgating. So there's so many issues that come up in driving. What I would like to discuss today is from a halachic perspective, according to the Torah and law, is a Jew obligated in these areas, seatbelts, driving speed, stop signs, or other traffic laws, distracted driving, too old, are these things which we would say there's an obligation to keep? Or just view it, you know, no, not necessarily. These, granted, there's, you know, it's like jaywalking, right? Now you say, Rebbe, of course, jaywalking is also dangerous. Going to walk in the middle of the street? Okay, but it's a type of thing. Yeah, New York doesn't have a jaywalking, you know, we'll get big money from that. You know, it's a law in the books. Obviously, there are circumstances. Somebody walks in the middle of a busy street. It's dangerous. It kills them. Queens Boulevard.
There are people coming down from New York who are on a regular basis do that, certain groups of people.
Yeah. You stop talking about walking in the middle of the street, you know, all the time.
That's the
right. To not go risk the sidewalks.
Right.
It's the right. But, yes, so, you look, there are certain things which might be, you know, officially prohibited, but if it's done safely, you know, it's understood. There's no one there. You didn't wait till the crosswalk. You walked in the middle. To say that's usher, no, it's not so simple. Oh, we're going to talk about that too. Excellent point.
Rabbi Shapiro would say, fasten your seatbelt for the rest of the show.
Too good of a line. They quoted Rabbi Shapiro's, fasten your seatbelt for the rest of the show. Now, I'll tell you, I believe a lot of this. A lot of these shilohs, we gave a share a few years ago about mass, but a lot of these shilohs, I really think the way, and this is true about a lot of the issues in halacha, especially things which there's not so much clear material of where to start, is how do you go about, what's your givens, what's your hanachos, how do you view the halacha to begin with, what's your approach? And I discussed this topic with multiple people, Rabbanim, and I'll tell you one approach that I was met by. I would come to this topic, and people said, well, look at the stats. How frequent are car accidents? What are the odds you're going to get into a car accident? What are the odds you're going to get into a dangerous car accident? Let's first start with the seatbelt shiloh. Okay? I think that's the easiest one to begin with. What are the odds you're going to get into a car accident? The odds it's going to be a dangerous car accident, it could be bodily harm, versus a little fender bender. And somebody sat there, actually an actuary,
oh, yeah,
putting in the numbers.
If
you put in the numbers, at least the way this guy did it, the odds of you in particular getting to an accident are what we would call absolutely minimal. Minimal. Granted, there are a lot of car accidents across America. I just punched in those stats this morning. Every single six, every minute in America, there's a car accident. What'd you say?
There's a lot of personal injury. The statistic that I saw is that the average driver will get into two serious car accidents in his entire career of driving. Now, serious means put people in the hospital, okay? It depends on what you're driving. If you're riding a motorcycle, your chances of dying,
oh, that's a very good point,
are exponentially higher than driving. Your chances of dying driving a car are very 3,000% more likely to die if you are driving a motorcycle.
Okay, that's a very excellent point.
Yeah.
Right? That I didn't bring up yet in the topics that we're going to talk about, the differences between cars. difference between vehicles. You're bringing up, when we talk about the stats of danger in car crashes, it goes up exponentially if you're on a motorcycle.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. So, yes, that's a very good point. But back to the stats that you know, right. So you said the average person gets into two serious car accidents in a lifetime.
Entire career.
Right.
Doesn't tell you whether it's going to happen to you or not. It's like if I smoke cigarettes, let's say there's a 50% chance I'm going to get lung cancer, okay?
Well, you're right.
To you.
But that doesn't mean, it doesn't predict whether or not you're going to get it. Okay? It just shows the probabilities, okay?
Yes. Now, in terms of the stats, so it could be, if you just analyze the numbers, there are those that will argue, look, it's something which is minimal. The chances of such a thing like that are slim. And therefore, the halakha would dictate that one does not have to, there's no chiyuv for one to wear a seatbelt. One might make such an argument. You just look at the stats alone. The stats are minimal. Now, I didn't come across, till you said it here, that stat of two serious injuries per lifetime. That's what I was hoshed over.
Over 60 years of driving or something.
Right.
Like that. Yeah.
So, to me, that also becomes like a different way to qualify it. Like, are you judging every act of driving unto itself or the broader picture? See, I think also with seatbelts, there's an issue of a regilus, of getting accustomed to wearing a seatbelt. You know, it would be very hard to say, well, right now I'm getting into a situation where the odds of me getting into accidents are slim. There's no one on the road. So, in this case, I don't have to wear a seatbelt. But later, where there's more of a chance that we're putting the seatbelt, that's not how people work. Either you put in the seatbelt, you don't put in the seatbelt. You get used to it. So you get used to not wearing a seatbelt, you're not going to put one on. Yes. Oh, so I want to get to that.
Let me ask this question.
Yes.
Don't we have an obligation to follow the rules?
Yes. Right? Very good point. I'm going to get to that also in a moment.
You also, are these statistics taking into account what are my chances of getting into an accident and my chances of getting injured? Or is it taking into account
it's everybody.
My chance of getting into an accident and somebody else getting injured?
Right, that's what you brought before. Yeah, I assume it's taking both of those stats into.
Because in terms of the halacha,
right.
I would assume that if so, I choose not to wear a seatbelt, and I get into and I lose control of my car, and I'm flying all over the car, and I can't control my car anymore because I'm not wearing a seatbelt, and then I injure somebody else. So that has a similar impact.
Correct. Right, no pun intended.
The reason
yes.
That you're required to wear a seatbelt is to protect you, not the other driver. Okay, society says we want to limit the expenses of these crashes. Okay, they're not accidents, they're crashes. Accident implies that nobody's responsible right. for it.
Now you're talking like a lawyer, Ed.
I'm talking like a lawyer. Absolutely, people are responsible for these crashes. They just don't happen in a vacuum. Okay, that's the whole thing. If you think that everything that happens in this world is the Ratzon Hashem, then why follow any traffic laws? Because
right, we have to do our shtadlus.
It's our shirt.
Right.
So what am I? It would happen anyway whether I follow these traffic. I know some guy, Hasidic guy in shul, bragging about driving 100 miles an hour on I-95.
So I'm gonna get to
bragging about it. I have a radar.
I'm not a guy who does that too.
I have a radar detector, you know, and I can ride 100 miles an hour on I-95.
Yeah.
Right here, if you're gonna combine the stats of the course of a lifetime,
they're watching this and they're coming in. This is how heated it is.
Combine stats over the course of a lifetime. You should never be once again in the car with a seatbelt, without a seatbelt. because if you're going to go with the stats that at some point in your life you're going to get into a serious car accident, which doesn't mean that you're going to be seriously injured. I mean, someone in the car accident will be seriously injured. But then it should be Usher Chalal if you're going to go over the course of life. Driving is is an action that's most likely going to result in a serious injury. So that should be the stamos, because we have to be dotting it on each individual time, in which case I should never have to wear a seatbelt.
Okay, very interesting point, right?
Avram
Eliezer is bringing up. I'm debating.
You can't separate the seatbelt from the crash. If I get into a car knowing that I'm getting into a crash, you wouldn't be allowed to get into the car with a seatbelt, without a seatbelt. So if I don't care that I might get into the car for my lifetime, then if I'm expected to get into the crash, or I'm hesitating in my, I'll get into the car as the crash, then I'm not allowed to get into the car. No.
Excellent point. Right. No,
just one moment a minute. If you have to go 10 miles to get somewhere, you're not going to walk, okay? You're going to get into a car. Now, if there's a certain amount of risk that you're going to undertake, no matter what, okay? We all assume a certain amount of risk in life. We get out of bed in the morning, okay? If we didn't want to accept any risk at all, we'd stay in bed.
Correct.
Okay.
So hold on. So what was brought up, let me summarize. This is Kanata Hara. Right? Alan, you're right. This shir really got people. Right? Now hold on. What was brought up is, are we looking big picture or small picture? In the big picture of things, yeah, the odds are, unfortunately, that over the course of a lifetime, people are going to get into accidents. If you look at each individual case, well, each time the chances are minimal. So how do you view it, small picture, big picture? So someone was arguing that you have to look at the small picture, because then how can you get in the car to begin with? Now, for sure, we would grant, let's say a person's small picture, right now, a person's intoxicated, right? So that means, right, over the legal limit, he had a couple shots. It was like a shmack of bar mitzvah. Couple shots. And no, shots. Good stuff. And it's a certain degree dangerous for him to drive. We would understand that situation exactly what Avram Eliezer argued. No, in this case, you can't get into a car. There for sure are circumstances. A person's very tired, which people don't take into account well. Person's driving, you know, from Florida to New York, you can get tired on this. A tired driving is, I think the stats are even worse than driving while intoxicated. So you have these situations. There could be for sure a case where right now I can't get into the car, it's too dangerous. But how do you view it, big picture, small picture? Not so simple. So hold on, there's a lot of comments, a lot of things. I wanna present. Let me present a couple more stats, and then I want to delve into one topic in halacha, which I think will address what Avraham Eliezer said, what others said. I saw an interesting stat, which I'm not sure how fully they explain it, is the world today, cars are quote-unquote safer than they ever were before. Now, I'm not sure why they say that. It's because of the airbags, and they're testing more, whatever that is. But they say the fatality rate at the same time is also going up. So it could be the effects of distracted driving are more today than they ever were before. It could be the level of drivers, niskatnu adoros, people are wimpier, people can't focus anymore, right? You know, as a teacher, you know, in the classroom, the amount of focus is definitely dropped over the ages. And to sit in the car, especially do a longer drive, requires focus. Even without the distracted, you're not on the phone, you know this, just people, just simple attention span, right? Oh, there's a car in front of you. And again, I don't want to get religious, but this is a topic. I didn't go to the Asbury Press for this.
Asbury Park.
Yes, but in the Jewish world, right, it's quite aware.
Lakewood has the worst drivers.
That in Lakewood, New Jersey, it's a known issue that people are discussing, that the traffic accidents in Lakewood are definitely more per capita than other sizable areas in New Jersey.
That's a cursory place from and,
Brooklyn. Blame it on Brooklyn, right? Now, probably in Lakewood, part of it is... Part of it is the roads are never made. The infrastructure is way below where it should be holding for a city of that magnitude. And there's a lot of catch-up that needs to be done, you know, from an infrastructure standpoint. But practically speaking, there are a crazy amount of accidents. There are people now keeping track of these. Every single one, like, it's a big issue. So I think, although the tshuvas, again, haven't been written on this topic, I do think it's a very, very important topic to be addressed. And from all aspects, from seat belts to driving speed to keeping the laws, how do we go about all these things? So I first want to address, let's go seat belts, then we'll go to other parts. So there's two interesting Gemaras. Perhaps maybe you'd say these Gemaras are in Stira. There's Shiloh, which one to do first? I'll do the Gemara in Shabbos. There's a Gemara in Shabbos. I'm skipping to the middle of the piece. This is actually quoted in another Sefer. That Rabbi Yannai warned people they shouldn't pass under a bridge which is not so well maintained, because a person shouldn't put himself in a makom sakana. Because a person who goes through a makom sakana, even if he emerges unscathed, the Gemara says, "Menachin lo min zichri Yosef." It takes away from his merits. If you're in a dangerous situation, a makom sakana, and even if you emerge okay, you put yourself in a makom sakana, then that's quite a bad thing. It takes away from your merits. And the Gemara says, for sure, a faulty bridge. The Gemara says, Bivada ina begeder sakana krova. You wouldn't say that's vada going to happen. If a bridge is shaky, you know, when the building inspectors say it's not safe, does that mean it's going to for sure fall down if you walk across it? No. If I'm being chased by somebody, can I go on such a thing? Yeah. It's not vada sakana. It's sakana rechoka. He wants to bring a raya. But nevertheless, it seems from this Gemara that even something which is a sakana rechoka, a far off sakana, would still be usur. And in general, we say the concept chamira sakanta misura. If we're just talking about an isur, is this piece of meat trade for kosher? Okay, so then we have halakhas, rov, chazakas, all these different factors to figure out if something's permissible. But when it comes to sakana, the general rule is that chamira sakanta misura. When it comes to the potential of hurting a person of sakana, then we go to the nth degree. And they bring down here the efshar shel zeh koyvin shmartem ol nafshoseichem. The pasuk that we titled the shir, as mentioned before, Demari mishmir yisera shel yamal b'malkam shum sakana, af sakana rechoka mishum dechamira sakanta. So even something which statistically is far off, that still might be governed by halacha of nishmartem ol nafshoseichem. Nishmartem ol nafshoseichem says that a person has to be careful about the situations they're in, even if it's a far off sakana. Now let me just contrast. There's a Gemara though in Baba Metzia, Kuf Yud Beis, where the Gemara darshens a pasuk ve'elav who knows he has nafsho, or a second pshat, the more famous pshat, is a person not paying a worker on time. But he says ne'mal ola zeh bekevish v'nitla be'ilon. Why do you have a case of a person who's putting himself in challenging situations? He's a window washer on the skyscrapers. He's going up. Why is a person putting himself in a case of he can get killed by being working for the NYPD. Right? So the Gemara says, lo haschara isn't because of the fact people do these things for their schar. And the mashmos of the Gemara is that such a thing is permitted. The Gemara is describing, hey, people, what do? They put themselves in dangerous situations to earn a living. And the Gemara takes for granted that that will be allowed. How do we reconcile this Gemara with the idea that Nishmartem Onav Shasekim says you have to be careful and take yourself out of a Makom Sakana? Don't put yourself in a Makom Sakana. Well, what it looks like when it comes to Parnasa, there's some heter to do it, right? So then I don't get it. For other Yisurim in the Torah, if something's Aser, there's no heter for Parnasa, right? Basa B'chalav is Aser. Now, they're okay. It's specifically an Iser of Hana. But other things, right? Something's Aser, it's Aser. We don't usually give a heter for Parnasa. Ganev is Aser, but I can make money on it, right? There's no heter for Parnasa. So how come over here, if it's a Makom Sakana, there's a heter for Parnasa? So I would like to show you how the Noda B'Yehuda understands this Gemara. Noda B'Yehuda says, and it's a fascinating tshuva, he writes, even though the Pasuk said, Nishmartem el nafshoseichem, but when a person does it for Parnasa, the Torah permitted it. And he refers to this Gemara. So if there's a tzorech, there's a tzorech of Parnasa. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. I have it here on the sheets too. Rav Moshe says it's mutter for a dvar mitzvah. It's not specifically limited to Parnasa. It's what you call for a tzorech, for a need. Including the needs, just like putting money on the table, but also for to do a mitzvah. One would be allowed to put oneself in some degree of a makom sakana. But the Noda B'Yehuda finishes off, your main intention is not for parnasa. We're talking about a case of a hunter, famous tshuva in the Noda B'Yehuda. You want to go hunting. It's not your parnasa. It's for kicks. You get game. Yeah. Hariza over arm nishmartim o'od nafshal seichem. Noda B'Yehuda says you're violating nishmartim o'od nafshal seichem. Quotes the Rambam in Hilchas Ratzeach that brings the Gemara that we just said. V'chein also adam lavar tachas kir natoy. Person has to be careful not to be under, excuse the word kir, under a dangerous wall. V'chein kol k'yotzev zeh. Me'il v'shar sakanos asar lava b'mkomam. These and other sakanas, it's usher to pass. So the Noda B'Yehuda is qualifying that look. Granted, there's an iser in Shemartim Ol Nam Shoseichem, but that's where it gets a little bit tricky. If there is a tzorich, then there would be a heter to put oneself, sounds like, in a Malkam Sakana. Now, does that mean a case where there's a very good odds the person is going to die? That's hard to hear. That the heter for Parnasa would be, you know, we're talking about a chance, right? I would say, I don't want to paskin the shayla, but, you know, a person's security guard, a person who works for a police department, that's dangerous. A fireman, there are jobs, a soldier, which are dangerous jobs. But at the same time, we a teacher in the inner city, yes. Right? I had a teacher who was able to write backwards because he never would turn his back. Literally, mamas would write backwards because, you know. Combat yeah, zone. It's a combat zone. But the Noda B'Yehuda is giving us a qualification that there is a heter on Nishmartem Ol Nafshal Seichem in certain circumstances for Parnasa, for Tzorach Mitzvah, for others. Now, at the same time, what I would point out over here is Lamaisa, the starting point is, and that's what seems from the Gemara, and the Noda Behuda debates that too, where there's no tzarech, it'll be also hunting. This tshuva of Noda Behuda we talk about today too, right? I don't know what the stats are in hunting, but I don't know that, is it such a, you know, a very strong number chance of a person dying just because he's going hunting?
No.
No. I don't think
somebody
it changed.
Else,
from
though,
huh?
Somebody else, yes.
You I'm not
somebody
sure.
Somebody else in a yellow jacket, an orange jacket, running around. You're shooting at people.
Okay. But again, I'm talking the general stats of people dying in hunting expeditions.
The statistics on that you can look at.
Right.
Very few people are killed.
Right. But it sounds, but the Noda Behuda is still ready to say, even though, right, even though it's not statistically so strong, I would say it's probably still together a sakana rechoka. It's a more far-fetched sakana. Yet the Noda Behuda is saying, if there's no tzarech, then that will be also. Now, what I would therefore think is when it comes to putting on a seatbelt, so really the whole question to begin with is a little silly. Just put on a seatbelt. What's the big deal? I don't like the way it feels when I have a seatbelt on. Like, what's the question? Just put one on. And especially if you deal with Dina de Malchusa Dina, the country law is you have to wear a seatbelt. Then of course, every driver should be wearing a seatbelt. I, when they asked me this question, I thought it was Pashat. Dina Malchusa Dina says everyone has to wear a seatbelt. It says not just the driver, anyone in the car. The driver's responsible for anyone in the car. If the cop pulls you over, you, the driver, would get a ticket. So really, yeah, if you get into a car, especially if you're the driver, you should have a responsibility to make sure everyone in your car is wearing a seatbelt. That's simple. What's a tzad not to? Right? So, okay, you know, teenagers don't want to wear these things, and there's peer pressure, I want to get into a fight. It doesn't sound like a real strong justification.
By the way, one floor,
but
it's only the people on the front seat back.
Right.
The seatbelt.
Really?
The
yeah? That's very interesting. Okay. Now, Lamaisa, I would think that putting on a seatbelt would be begedev in Shmartam Olam Nafshos Eichem. There's for sure some, at least chashash rachuk, that something might happen. Even though in this particular case, maybe not. It's a miyata miyuta. But okay, but when it comes, hamir sakanta misura. Noda Behuda said when it comes to hunting, if you don't have a valid reason, it should be also. Someone just told me moments before I walked into the shir that they're with an Adam Chashav, and he was sick. And I don't know the exact circumstances. I don't know if he was sitting in the front seat or the back seat, right? But he was not well, and he was not able to put on his seatbelt. And he told the driver, please excuse me, and he quoted a certain Rav, I have a heter from this Rav, not to wear a seatbelt in my circumstance. Okay? I could hear that. Maybe that's a tzarech. Right? If it's a chashash rachuk, the Noda Behuda says, if there's a tzarech, you have to go somewhere. You can't walk. It's a tzarech mitzvah. In your particular case, which is a weird case, you don't have too many cases like that. But let's say the person can't move his body in this, like, okay, he can't put on the seatbelt. Put him in the back seat. New York, in Florida, you'd be okay even. You know, from Dina to Malchus Dina. But other than that, I would think that there would be a chiyuv, also mishmartem nafshal seichem. I've heard a couple of rabbanim quoted as this, but I'm surprised there aren't more. To me, I think it's pashat. From discussions, I don't think it's pashat. Take back that line. But from this known to be Huda, from if the way we're setting up the sugya, that chamir sakanta misur, there is such an idea like that, that'll be an issue. Speeding. Again, I found that someone asked the shaila to Rav Scheinberg. So Scheinberg said, look, to go a little bit over the speed limit, that's expected. When they say the speed limit 55, If you do 65, they're not going to really get you. But to go 75 in a 55 zone, that's more dangerous.
If you go 10 miles an hour over the speed limit, if the cop is there, and you know, with his radar, you will get a ticket.
Right, right. Okay, but under 10.
Under 10 miles right. an hour, they usually don't want to
punch you with that. So, if Scheinberg said these things are usur from Dinan Machlus Adinan. Now, I don't know how much I can rely on this quote. Did he say specifically Dinan Machlus Adinan, not in the Shmartim Nor Nafshal Seichem? Similarly, I would have thought this is also included in the Shmartim Nor Nafshal Seichem. What about texting, distracted driving? Again, so I spoke with the Posek just this morning, and he was arguing, yeah, even if you'll say that wearing a seatbelt is not an absolute chiyuv of the Shmartim Nor Nafshal Seichem, but it wouldn't be an isser not to wear a seatbelt, but he would say to actively do something dangerous, like really speeding, going 100 miles per hour, like distracted driving, blowing through stop signs without looking. You know, those things are really, really dangerous. And yeah, that's something that would be usur. This week's parsha, we have Yaakov Avinu, Yosef, when he reveals himself to the brothers. The brothers going back to Yaakov, Yosef tells them, "Al tirguzu b'derech, don't get too involved in learning while you're driving." Someone just told me before, I was blown away by it. Shmuel Birnbaum was known as a tremendous masmid. He would learn 20 all the time, and especially when he traveled, he was famous on airplanes, he'd go up and down the rows, talk to people and learning. But someone just told me their father drove Shmuel Birnbaum. And he refused to talk to the driver in learning while he drove. And he said it might even been years ago, he got into an accident maybe with someone driving, and he was makbid on that halacha, al tirguzu baderech. He refused to talk, and he was always talking and learning. But he refused when he was driving with somebody not to distract the driver by talking and learning. That's what Shmuel Birnbaum did. Years ago, my grandfather of Shmuel Neiman asked a shaila to Rav Moshe about cars and about a person's going to could get any size type of car that he that possible. He has a choice between two cars. He could get what we call a mini, a smaller car, or he could get a bigger car. The Lashon, right? Rechmiel is a heavy car. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, yes, I agree with 100%. A person has a choice of two cars. He should get a bigger car, which could greater withstand the impact of a collision versus getting a small car.
I just want to know if this is the one with the glove.
Yeah, there's such a thing. You know, people debate, there is an idea of Shomer B'Sayim Hashem, that Hashem protects even fools, and can you rely on something, especially where it's something that many people do? Some people are arguing maybe, you know, there are many people that don't wear seatbelts, many people that go through stop signs, and maybe you could rely on Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Not so simple. You know, I found the Binyan Tzion, the Aruch Haner, says that only applies to Hezek, which happens over time. You know, eat too much sweets, I'm going to be in trouble, 20 years from now. Maybe you could rely on Shomer Pesayim Hashem, that's what other people do too. But something which the accident could happen right now, according to Binyan Tzion, you wouldn't have Shomer Pesayim Hashem in that case. So just to conclude, it's definitely advisable, according to everybody, that you should be a Jew, and for sure if you add on the element of Chilul Hashem, my friend I know talks about this topic all the time, Jews and driving. And unfortunately, there could be a lot of Chilul Hashems, and I'll take off my yarmulke. No. Right, the guy in watch what you do, and Jews who cut off other drivers, park in an inconsiderate way, but even the speeding, the stop signs, all these types of talking on a phone, right? People definitely have to be careful with Chilul Hashem, but besides that, what we debated today in Shir is there an Isser for one not to obey these laws? Are you violating the Shmartim Olam Nafshal Seichem? In doing such, we saw that there is room with Tzarech Parnasa, the Tzarech Mitzvah. There are Tzarechim, which these halachas might be malleable, flexible. But at the same time, we're at all available. Normal circumstances, people should be very, very careful in driving. And Be'ez Hashem, with that schus, you know, there just was this picture, this video going around of Rav Nemetzal from Eretz Yisrael, very chash of a Talmud Chacham, who was in a car crash. The airbags went off, and he was sitting alerting, you know, he was the passenger.
Not
you know, like nothing happened. You know, we all need schusim. I'm sure the schus of him being in that car learning, you know, was a big schus. It wasn't the airbags that saved him.
No, Wesley,
alone.
Inside the airbags, wasn't driving anymore anyway.
Right. Right. But Be'ez Hashem, we should all be careful. And the schus of learning these halachas, learning the sugya, should be a schus for all of us and our families that we avoid at all costs such accidents. Thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful week.